This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Today, about 1 o'clock, Governor John Bel Edwards will trot into the House chamber and deliver his opening salvo for the regular legislative session. About 8 weeks, and we'll see what happens. It is an election year, and a huge number of lawmakers are term limited. And, of course, some of them will try to move from one chamber to the other because they've served their three terms where they are. But these lawmakers in the House who are term limited, they came in with one John Bel Edwards when he was elected to the House 12 years ago. And Robert Travis Scott, among many accomplishments of this administration, I think that's one that the governor himself would acknowledge, is that I think he thought he would get along a lot better with his former colleagues than he did. It's been a rocky road.
Today's a special day because it's kind of like a State of the Union address usually when the governor comes down, goes before the full legislature all gathered in the House of Representatives and tries to talk about his accomplishments and then tries to talk about what he wants to accomplish during that session. This time, though, it's an election year. So it's not just a legislative session and not just a fiscal legislative session, because it's one of those short fiscal ones where we deal with money issues, but it's an election session.
And Robert Travis Scott is gearing up for it, too. PAR's annual conference is this Thursday. And before we part company, we're going to hear from Robert about a major event. And this one will perhaps be jaw-dropping to some of us about the participants in a gubernatorial debate. It is interesting that this is kind of the kickoff to the election season, and this isn't some wildly partisan group. It's not the ACLU or LABI putting on the event. It's PAR, which is a relatively nonpartisan operation. And Robert Travis Scott, before we get there, this year is expected to be a yawner. For the Capitol, at the Capitol. Stephanie Grace, I saw yesterday, said it's going to be the Seinfeld show, a session about nothing. But there should be an increase in teacher pay.
Well, I think that the idea that there'll be a teacher pay raise is kind of a foregone conclusion at this point. There's so much support for it. The question now is down to who will be able to try to take the most credit for pushing it through. And I think you'll see a lot of gamesmanship. Of course, the governor's been proposing this from way back, and I think you'll see a lot of members in the legislature trying to say, well, actually, we're the one who figured out in the budget how to make this happen.
And sports betting. Mississippi's already done it, and Louisiana, whether we like to acknowledge it or not, there is an affinity for gaming, and there certainly is an affinity for sports. And we need the money, so we as a state need the money. So where is this one going?
Well, we'll see. This is interesting. Now, this is the type of sports betting, I guess, we're talking about here, Jim, where you can go into a casino and actually bet on a ball game, you know, before it's going on. And that's something that's you can't do in the casinos right now. You can do them in Las Vegas, and I think, like you said, Mississippi has passed it.
Is that what you understand?
Yeah, okay. So there's some competition for probably Harris, New Orleans at a minimum. So I think there's going to be some effort to do that. There are people who don't like this idea, of course, because it's an expansion of gambling, and it's also a real lure for younger people to get in. And I think if you're in the gaming business, bringing in younger people is something that they probably want to do, bring them into the casinos and try to nourish their business forevermore. So I can see why people are both for and against this legislation.
877-217-5757 for Robert Travis Scott and talk at talklouisiana.org. And Erica in Mid-City asks about Senator Karen Carter Peterson, who's head of the Democratic Party. She, of course, has acknowledged a gambling issue and actually had opted to be thrown out of the casinos herself. And she got her wish, and it became public. This is an embarrassment, but for some, this is an acknowledgement that we have people with a lot of gambling issues that are perhaps not of the means that Senator Peterson is. And I would think on an issue like this, it would be hard for her to opine about it.
It would be. You know, it brings up a really interesting question for us, too, in that if someone voluntarily puts themselves into this program and then they violate it, and then the casino you know, escorts them out, and then there's some sort of legal record that comes up as a result of this, then that becomes public. And then you wonder whether or not that creates a disincentive for people to sign up for the program, which is something that might be helpful to them. Now, at PAR, we're the champions of open records and open government. I don't want to see a lot of exceptions. But it does make an interesting policy question here. There is a kind of a contradiction in the way that works out.
And another listener, this is Tracy at the Capitol, asking about minimum wage and equal pay. Those are time-tested issues now for the governor, who's gone 3 years in a row without success and says he's going back to the well one more time. But is there the stomach to pass these measures this year?
It's an election year, so you never know what will happen, Jim. Sometimes you look at election years and, like some people have said, nothing may happen, or people may be more timid. But then you may have some legislators who don't plan to come back, or they either can't come back or they're not running for another office, and they decide, heck, I'm going to do some things that I never would have done before. So I think these types of sessions, especially in election year and with so many term limits, with a third of the legislature turning over, there's a little bit of an unpredictability factor in it. It might be more fun than you think.
We'll see. Republican Representative Tanner McGee of Houma has filed House Bill 57 calling for a constitutional amendment that, if approved by voters, would lay down basic legal principles to transfer the state sales tax collection job from an array of parish-level agencies to a central collection agency. Is this possible?
I don't know whether it will pass. It has a huge amount of opposition from a lot of local governments. In Louisiana, the local governments depend very heavily on the sales tax, much more so than, say, the property tax, as you might see in other states with local governments. And so they obviously want to protect very jealously that right that they think they have to collect that tax. I think they go a little bit far, though, because this is something that's clearly not good for business and creates a lot of, I think, difficulties for businesses who have operations in multiple parishes. There's the multiple rules, there's multiple rates, and there's also the issue of local and state auditing. You can get audited over and over again, one parish to the next. And it's just a system that's not like it's done almost anywhere else in the country. And so I think there's been a strong effort over many years to eventually see us come to a more modernized 21st century system. Now, the local governments, are very opposed to that. They consider it one of their spokesmen considered it a sacred right, that God himself had said that they have a right to collect their taxes on the local level.
There's a bill to raise the tobacco purchase age from 18 to 21. That one, of course, will gain some attention, and of course there are people who would like to see tobacco products outlawed altogether, like Judith Sylvester, the professor at LSU. But 18 to 21, is that palatable for the legislature?
You know, it's going to be a question of people's rights, whether you're adult at 18, but it's also a health care question. I mean, if we could reduce smoking even further in the state, we'd save a lot on health care costs, particularly on public expenses on health care costs.
In a few minutes, we'll get Robert Travis Scott's take on some crazy bills, but one of those that people perhaps smile at, but very few would call it crazy, designating Interstate 10 as the Hoodat Nation Highway. Who's behind that one?
I'll look it up here. I just noticed that one.
Senate Bill 134.
Is that right?
Yeah, probably a New Orleans area lawmaker, who Wesley Bishop is the sponsor of that bill.
There you go. Okay.
There you go. Okay. So the Hoodat Nation Highway.
What fun. It'd be the talk of the country.
Well, yeah. And to prohibit calling non-dairy products milk. Some people are lathered up about that. Senate Bill 39.
It's all frothed up over that one, I'm sure. But, you know, I wait to hear what the arguments are on both sides of that because, you know, on the one hand, you have the agriculture community, dairies, having a tough time, and they feel like their market's being crushed out with this the milk name, after all. So let's hear the sides out on that one.
877-217-5757. Back with Robert Travis Scott and Tyler Kepner of the New York Times. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Robert Travis Scott is here for a few more minutes, and then he'll come back to close the show with us. But we're surveying the landscape as John Bel Edwards prepares to march into the Capitol, the graduate of West Point and LSU, to start his fourth regular session 6 months and 4 days away from an election. Ray in Prairieville. Ray, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Robert Travis Scott.
Thanks for taking my call, Jim. And just a, I guess, a complicated question for Mr. Scott. You know, with
my favorite kind.
With the state of the Louisiana highways and school system as a disaster, what tax raises would be potential? Could we get through the legislature to... gas tax, it should be added to 20 cents a gallon.
All right, what about a gas tax? That one is coming back up, and that's potentially a huge issue, but is there momentum? It takes two-thirds support in the House and Senate. That's a heavy lift.
It is a heavy lift, but they folks who want this keep coming back, and I think they recognize that there's a lot of needs for our roads in this state. Bridges, we have a backlog of problems with our bridges and our roads, and we need more maintenance. Plus, there's a lot of new projects that I think a lot of people want to get on board with. And of course, here in Baton Rouge, it's this talk about another bridge across the Mississippi River to help relieve traffic. So you have to have money to do those things. Now, there's a big debate going on. This is one of the biggest policy debates we have in this country right now, is how do we pay for these things? Do we keep doing it with a fuel tax, gas and diesel tax, or do we go to tolls? Do we go to public-private partnerships and so on? And that's a debate that we're really playing out right now.
And we will return with Robert before we close out the hour, but we're joined again by Robert Travis Scott, who is a baseball aficionado in his own right. And Robert Travis Scott, they'll be throwing some curveballs, some fastballs, maybe even some knuckleballs. And at the legislature this year, there are some bills that might be considered knuckleheaded. What's going on? Every year there's some of these weird bills, and you've already perused a few of them.
I like the sliders that try to get by without you noticing. So, well, yeah, I mean, it's such a big – I think it is a session where a lot could happen, or maybe a lot won't happen because of the election that's coming up. But we'll see. I mean, it's interesting. You have these competing budget bills already. And we saw in the last couple of years, we even had to go beyond the regular session to complete a budget for the upcoming year. And every year that's what the legislature does. That's one of the main things they're supposed to do, is to carve up and design the budget for the following year. This year, we go into it with competing budget bills. We're not even waiting until the process steams up a little bit. So we'll see where it goes. And both sides like to play this because I think it serves both sides for this. Trying to look at who has the best, who's protecting the taxpayers, who's protecting the public services, I think we'll see this played out once again.
Well, I remember in the year of 1990, James David Cain had a flag burning bill where you could beat up a flag burner and only be fined $25. Someone said, "Well, if you do it twice, does that mean you're fined
$50?
But they ended up amending that bill and turning it into an anti-abortion bill at the finish line. And the Speaker of the House,
holy cow,
Senate President at the time, said, It's germane.
That's right. It has to be real germane. And here's one by Dorothy Sue Hill of Dry Creek. And she's
David's hometown.
That's right. And proposing that information about alligator egg collection, stocking, captive breeding, farming, and the inventory of alligators be kept out of the public record. So the deep secrets of alligators are something that we may need protection. We did not know about that. But that may be a question between a private and a public operation. Who knows? Be interested to see what that argument's all about.
Okay. Well, Robert Travis Scott is gearing up for the PAR annual conference, and they fill that big room at the Crown Plaza where all the people who are hobnobbers show up for a big event in Baton Rouge. And who's your guest speaker this year?
The luncheon speaker is Lance Fritz. He's the chairman and CEO of Union Pacific Railroad. Absolutely terrific that he's going to come in here and speak to us. They have an enormous presence in the state. And, of course, they're a big economic driver, big commerce player in Louisiana. In the morning, we have these things called PAR Talks, where people will give these, a little bit like TED Talks, but their own version of those, and where people will give an explanation of their view, where the future of infrastructure and highways and intermodal transportation, all that is going. I think it'll be absolutely fascinating. We're going to have a series of those and a really good discussion. And then after the luncheon, we will have a gubernatorial candidate forum, and Governor John Bel Edwards and Congressman Ralph Abraham will be facing off.
This is
Thursday afternoon.
Now, did you only invite those two?
No, we invited Eddie Ruspani also. He had a prior engagement
to come. He is not coming to a debate between John Bel Edwards and Ralph Abraham, and he considers himself a serious candidate for governor. Now, this is me talking. That would seem to be, you clear your schedule for this one. What's going on with Eddie Ruspani?
Well,
or maybe not going on with him.
I do think he genuinely had a conflict that was something that was important to them, and he couldn't come. I think, and he may also be playing a long-term strategic game here. I think a lot of people at this
long-term,
early stage...
we're 6 months away from an election.
Well, I mean, yeah, you say that, but, a lot of people will tell you, a lot of political pundits will tell you that no one pays attention until much later in the race. And so I don't know whether that's part of the strategy that he's thinking of or not in this case. But I will tell you this. We will have a good event, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think there'll be a lot of great discussion. We're really going to dig into the issues and really hear what these guys are saying they're going to do, whether what John Bell would do in his second term and what Ralph Abraham would do if he took office.
A listener notes, Robert, that last Friday we were talking about this group, Citizens United Against Government Waste, running spots praising John Kennedy. No issue involved, just cheering our junior senator for being against government waste. Any chance he gets back in the race? He was kind of in it, decided to not pull the trigger, and he's still out there. And I know the president wants to unseat that evil Democrat John Bel Edwards. So is John Kennedy perhaps the guy to come and get in the race?
That sounds like the 11th hour. That sounds like Jim Inkster, the journalist, just dying for something splashy to take place to liven up his life. But I have no idea. It certainly doesn't look that way. I think if he was going to get in, he would have gotten in.
Well, Kennedy last Friday, too, wrote an editorial condemning sexual harassment and attacked John Bel Edwards for hiring Johnny Anderson. And Matt Doyle, Kennedy did not mention that 13 women have accused the president of sexual harassment, and also that the president himself on the Howard Stern show said he liked to come in dressing rooms and uninvited and see naked women.
I'll go backstage before a show.
Yes.
And everyone's getting dressed and ready and everything else, and, no men are anywhere. And I'm allowed to go in because I'm the owner of the pageant, and therefore I'm inspecting it. They're standing there with no clothes. Is everybody okay? And you see these incredible-looking women. And so I sort of get away with things like that.
Okay, that's the president of the United States. John Kennedy didn't mention that in his editorial, Robert Travis Scott.
Well, Jim, I'm glad you were able to pop some sex topic into your show just to end it up.
Well, it was John Kennedy who brought it up, talking about Johnny Anderson, but he does not talk about the President of the United States. I don't know that John Kennedy has ever said an unkind word about Donald John Trump. Why would that be?
Oh, why do you think John Kennedy would say such a thing? Maybe he believes that Donald Trump's a good president and that he thinks he's doing the right things, despite his perhaps somewhat tawdry behavior.
Somewhat tawdry. So that's about as far out on the edge we're going to get, Robert Travis Scott from the Public Affairs Research Council. And, of course, Joe Biden has his own issues right now, but nothing like going in dressing rooms and looking at naked people, naked women. And so let's see what happens. But it would not be beyond the realm of possibility for John Neely Kennedy to get in the race. He's had 9 campaigns since 1991. He likes to run. He usually wins. He's learned from every defeat. And who knows? And the president does not like the fact that John Bel Edwards is the only Democrat serving as governor in a deep South state.
All right, let's put some money on that, Jim. How much?
I'll bet you a cup of coffee.
A cup of coffee. Holy cow. You've got to do better than that.
A big cup of coffee. Right. Well, Robert, good luck Thursday, and be quite an event.
I'm looking forward to that coffee.